You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Connect Community, everybody. Once again, if you came during the music portion, my name is JD Miller. If you're watching for the first time, my wife, who was just here, and I are the pastors of this church, and we're so glad to have you here on Sunday, September, the months are running together, November 15th. We had Veterans Day last Wednesday. Any veterans in the room? No, if you are watching, you're a veteran. We honor you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for serving this country, serving all of us. We bless you in Jesus' name. We honor our veterans. We honor those who serve in all of the branches of the military. And so if you have a family member, I'm sure you already reached out. But if you haven't yet, just reach out to them. It's a noble cause, and we love and always keep them in prayers. So today we're continuing our series, Throwing Shade, and I want to take a few minutes to talk about forgiveness today. I know last week online I mentioned that we were going to take a Sunday to talk about forgiveness, and this is it. We're going to talk about the importance of forgiveness, and the title of this message is Called to Forgive. Called to Forgive. Now, people gossip. I don't know if you've noticed that, but people like to gossip. People love gossip. People love gossip so much, there are industries that exist for gossiping. People make money on that, right? There are magazines, there are TV shows, there are news segments completely dedicated to gossiping. Even in the newspaper, they mask it with the name entertainment section. But that's really all about other people's lives. Now, have you ever been in a situation where people were gossiping? Maybe it's in the break room in the office. Maybe it's around the water cooler, hair salon. Maybe it's in a family gathering, friends visiting with you. How about you? Have you ever gossiped? No. Have you ever talked about somebody behind their back? Someone did something. Confession time. It's dark enough here, and you're wearing a mask, so it's safe. That's a bad joke, JD. Someone did something you didn't like, so you rushed to tell a friend. The boss was tough on you. You didn't like it, so you badmouthed the boss to your coworker. A friend or family member messed up. You called your cousin. You know, it happens. Maybe you yourself haven't done that in a long time. But people come to you. People come to you with those conversations. People come to you with condescending words. They come to you talking about somebody else's life. Maybe it's not gossip. Maybe it's anger, right? There's certain people that just make you angry. You get around them and you don't know what it is. It's just they make you angry. Maybe it's annoyance. You just get annoyed around certain people. And you might be thinking, JD, I thought this message was about forgiveness. Why are you making me feel bad? Have you stopped to consider how much of that anger, how much of that annoyance, how much of the gossip is connected to an offense or lack of forgiveness? Have you stopped to consider how much of it? Now, it's not always. Sometimes gossip is just gossip. There's certain, you know, sometimes some people just annoy you. Sometimes people do things that are angering, and it's justifiable to be angry because people will do things that are angering. But for all the other times, if you think about it, and you pay attention to what's behind your words, what's behind some of your thoughts, what's really going on, you might realize that there's a thread that leads back to an offense and maybe even lack of forgiveness. It might be at play. Someone did something you didn't like. It wasn't big. They didn't steal from you. They didn't lie to your face. It might have been something small, a small offense. They said something that was slightly insensitive and it just rubbed you the wrong way. They were mildly rude. They made a mistake and you took notice. And from that point on, that person was defined by that offense. It might have not been intentional, but it happened. I want to show you today that forgiveness not only goes deep, but it also goes wide. And so does lack of forgiveness. Most of us think of forgiveness as a tool. Something that happens internally through a process either of therapy or inner search in God's presence in prayer that gets down to the root of this deep and major traumatic experience, something big that happened in your life, and you need forgiveness for that major element. So it's a tool. It's like a shovel that needs to dug those roots deep to get that root out. And that's true. Forgiveness does that too, but it's more than that. Forgiveness is also a lens. Forgiveness is also a way of life, a way to live your life. See, forgiveness is very important for those big, significant moments when a friend betrays you, when a family member hurts you, when somebody breaks your trust, when a traumatic experience or traumatic event happens. Forgiveness is healing. Forgiveness is essential for those moments. But I believe what makes forgiveness possible for those big moments, what makes forgiveness possible for those major and unique moments, is forgiveness being lived out every single day in those smaller, less significant, common moments. See, because here's the truth. You're not going to get robbed every day. You're not going to get in a fight every day. Hopefully. You're not going to get cheated on every day, and hopefully not ever. But every day you're going to go through a small offense. Most likely they will happen every day. Somebody at work, somebody at home, somebody cuts you off in traffic. All those New Yorkers driving in Connecticut now. I'm sorry. We love you, New Yorkers. Just drive like us, okay? Learn with the locals. Right? That's right. Praise the Lord. Hey, a bumper sticker. Drive like us. Business for you guys. It's those little things that will begin to affect you. And if you learn to forgive, if you learn to be quick to forgive, I'm still thinking about that. They'll begin to affect you more and more. If you learn to forgive, that forgiveness will also increase in your heart. Here's my point. You won't learn to forgive big once in a while until you forgive small all the time. That's really important. Now, in Matthew 18, there's a story that Jesus is teaching his disciples. He was teaching about temptation. And how to love the lost, and how to go after the lost. And Jesus progressed in that teaching, talking about temptation, loving the lost. And he, from loving the lost, he went into forgiveness. And he began to talk about forgiveness. In that moment, Peter, one of his disciples, interjected. And he asked Jesus the following question, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, Jesus was making a point here. Jesus was making a point that, listen, Peter, don't think of forgiveness simply for big events. Forgiveness is not only for those big moments. Forgiveness is not this big gesture. Forgiveness is more than that. Jesus was in fact saying, Peter, forgiveness is a way of life. Forgiveness is a mode of living. So he began to teach them in parable. And here's the parable that Jesus began to share. He said that the kingdom of heaven, The kingdom that is at hand, the mode of life that he came to bring, is compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with all of his servants. And as he was settling accounts with all of his servants, a servant was brought to his presence who had an enormous debt. Now, Jesus uses the figure of 10,000 talents. That's a massive number. That's 200,000 years worth of wages. 60 million days worth of wages. That's a lot of money. And because the servant couldn't pay, there was no way that the servant would be able to come up with that money. The king ordered him, his wife, and kids to be sold in order that the debt would be paid so that they could labor as slaves to pay for the debt. As the servant heard that sentence, he fell on his knees, Jesus says. And as he fell on his knees, he pleaded with the king. He said, "Please have patience. Have patience with my life. I will pay. I will do everything in my power to pay. Please have patience with me." Now the king, seeing his servant and seeing the desperation in his heart, he had compassion. And this is what the king did. He not only released him and told him that he wasn't going to be sold, but he forgave the debt. He forgave that enormous debt. Now, here's where the plot gets a twist, because as he left the king's presence in the story, he went after another fellow servant, just like him, who owed him money. Now, this fellow servant owed him 100 denarii, not 60 million denarii, 100 denarii, which is 100 days of work. Everybody would get paid, most people get paid 1 denarii a day in those days. 100 denarii. And now remember, he was just forgiven 60 million. What does he do? He seizes this man who owed him 0.0001% of what he owed and began to choke him and say, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant got on his knees, just like he did with the king, and pleaded with him and said, "Please, please have mercy on me. Please be patient. I will pay." And he wouldn't listen to him. And he threw him in jail until he paid. Now, this is where Jesus continues the story. Matthew chapter 18, verses 31 through 35. Jesus' words concluding this story. When his fellow servants, the other servants, saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. So they went to the king and said, "This is what this guy did." Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Major story. Strong words from Jesus, raising the importance of forgiveness in our lives. We have stories like this in the Bible, in the Gospels, of Jesus talking about forgiveness, where he uses strong words, guiding us and leading us, saying, "Hey, this is a non-negotiable. If you're going to follow my way of life, if you're going to be a child of God, forgiveness is non-negotiable. You need to open your heart for forgiveness, because you will not enter the kingdom of God." In other words, you're not going to receive the way of life. You're not going to be enveloped by the way that God is leading you. You're leading your life toward. You're not going to be able to enter that. And here's what we learn from the scriptures, is that those who are forgiven are called to forgive. Because we have been forgiven, we are called to forgive. Now, every single one of us, we operate from a set of beliefs. We have a set of beliefs. But forgiveness, as we read in this scripture, as we heard from this passage, is uniquely Christian, is a uniquely Christian doctrine. This is what James Houston writes In other religions, forgiveness does not have the same force. In animism, which is the belief that everything has a soul, including inanimate objects, there's no awareness of a personal relationship with God. In Hinduism, all have to pay the inexorable consequences of karma in the wheel of reincarnations. In Buddhism, Buddhism likewise knows nothing of a forgiving God. The idea is present in Islam, but there's no personal God and Father. Even in Judaism, forgiveness remains a limited experience, though forgiveness as developed in the New Testament adds dimension to the teaching of the Old Testament by James Houston in 1998. Forgiveness is a uniquely Christian doctrine. Now, it's important to note that when we talked about this piece of theology to guide our lives, it's important to note that Jesus never called us to live a religious life. It happens too often that people consider Christianity, what we're doing right here, a religious practice, which means Christianity is about attending church, the sacraments, right, the liturgy, reading the Bible, praying. It's about First Communion, it's about baptism, it's about confirmation, it's about singing in church, believing in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to bother anyone with it. You don't have to go beyond the bounds of the building. You don't have to tell anyone about it. You got to keep it to yourself and in that religious box. In other words, it's your religious life as part of everything else in your life. But Jesus did not call us to live like that. In fact, a life with Jesus doesn't work like that, because it's not a religious way of life, not in the way that we understand in modern culture. This is God's way of life for you and me. Now, it sounds like the same thing, but this is my point. A religious way of life means your life plus whatever religious practices you want to add on to it, right? God's way of life means the way you were designed to live, the way you were made to live, the way you were supposed to live as a human being. That means that God's way of life affects you everywhere. It affects your life anywhere and everywhere. It affects how you exercise. It affects how you study. It affects how you do your job, how you work. It affects you at home with your marriage. It affects you at home with your relationship with your parents, your grandparents, your sisters. It affects you at work. It affects you how you see yourself, how you lead yourself. And it's part of you. It's part of who you are. And forgiveness, this is the point that Jesus is making. Forgiveness is central to this way of life. We got to incorporate and see forgiveness as our way of life. That's why Jesus teaches with such strong words the importance of forgiveness. Now, I want to encourage you today. In fact, I want to plead with you today that you choose forgiveness, that you may answer the call to forgiveness, because we are called to forgive, that you may make the effort to forgive people every single day. Forgive him every single day, not just with big things, but also with small things. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, forgive. Someone doesn't say thank you when it's warranted, forgive. Someone doesn't hold the elevator for you, forgive. They probably have COVID. Don't worry about it. Bad joke. Be quick to forgive. Every time somebody offends you, forgive. But JD, it's not fair. If I forgive, they get away with it. But if you forgive, you'll be set free. Forgiveness is not about what it does to the other person only. It's about what it does to you. See, forgiveness is not about fairness. Forgiveness is about freedom. It's about you traveling light without all of that baggage, without all of the weight of resentment in your heart. And when you receive God's forgiveness, there are two ways you can respond to it, as we saw in the parable. You can receive it and then go about your life the same way, judging everyone else, trying to set everybody straight who owes you, remind them that they owe you and they need to pay. Or you can realize, my gosh, I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. God has forgiven every single one of my faults. And in turn, I'm going to forgive. See, God's forgiveness is not intended to leave you the same way. It's intended to open your heart so that you can receive a new heart and begin to forgive others. God forgave you so you can be set free. But not only that, He forgave you so that you can forgive others as well. Here's what Scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. See, if you're often talking to people and the conversation gets negative about other people, if you are easily offended, if you find yourself getting tangled in offense after offense after offense, let me encourage you to practice forgiveness. Answer God's call to forgive you, to forgiveness. See, forgiveness is not only about a few big offenses that you will get in a year. Forgiveness is about the little daily offenses that you will face every single day as well. So do what the Scripture is inviting you to do. Put on with God's heart. Put on God's heart for humanity. Put on God's heart for the world. Put on God's heart for your family. Put on God's heart for those who offend you. Experience the forgiveness that He has bestowed upon you. Here's what God has done for you. He has rescued you from the worst possible version of yourself that you could have become. And He has guided you to live a life, to live the way of life that He has called you to live in love, in grace. So as you become somebody who forgives every single day, offense happens immediately. That's the way you live. That's the way you see the world. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let go. I'm going to overlook the offense. You will notice that your capacity to forgive will begin to grow. Maybe you're somebody who you don't have a big capacity to forgive right now. But as you begin to forgive little things, you will notice you're not going to hold on to those things anymore. That capacity begins to grow. And you'll notice you'll begin to change. And when someone who's moved by the love of Christ forgives, when somebody who's moved by God's forgiveness, when that person forgives, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's a very tragic story that happened last year. A woman police officer, Amber Geiger, she entered a home that she thought was her own. And in the moment, in the confusion, she had had a difficult day. In the confusion, she found somebody in her apartment. This man, his name was Botham Jean. Now, she was startled, and she pulled her gun. She was a police officer. She pulled her gun. She thought, there's an intruder in my home. And he was startled. He's thinking, why is there a police officer in my house? And as the story goes, the altercation happens. She asks him to put his face to the ground. He's confused. He's trying to talk to her calmly. And with his hands up, he walks toward her to talk to her. And she fires her gun twice. And he dies right then and there. It was a horrible, horrible story. Very sad. Now she went to trial for murder. And as she was being tried, his brother, Botham's brother, Brent, was given a chance to testify. And I want to show you a clip of Brent and what he had to say to this lady who had just killed his brother a few days before. Roll the tape.
I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
I can't imagine going through that. Having lost your brother and being in a situation like that and finding in your heart the fortitude, the depth to forgive the person who took your brother's life. How can somebody arrive at that level of release and maturity and devotion and love, if not for Christ? Who else can lead you to that place? I want you to understand today that it's not your performance that God is looking at. And that goes, that's the same for those around you. God already loves you. He has already forgiven you. And because we are forgiven, we are called to forgive. Now, my prayer is that we may grow in forgiveness, because that's what our world needs. We look around and there's just fights and factions and divisions, and it seems like that's all the news is about now. And I want to encourage you to live differently, to rise above it, to put on Christ, put on compassion, put on love, so that God can lead you and you can be free. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. I want to call the band.